Hey guys, and welcome to another episode. Am I on? Hey guys, welcome. I didn't see the camera on. That's why I was confused. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, please, guys, don't forget to support us by sharing, liking this content, subscribing to our channel. We are continue to be self-funded by Patriots, no Illuminati, no lizard people. Our only sponsor being Century H2O. For those of you that have been keeping up, Nelson, the owner of Century H2O, is still very much over at East Palestine, Ohio. We are so proud to be involved with the organization and have them believe in our podcast. They're still over at East Palestine passing out water filters. The best way for you to support them is either donate to the campaign so that they can get these free water filters to the residents at East Palestine, or by purchasing your own filter and helping out the residents at East Palestine, Century H2O, and of course your favorite Latinas. Your two favorite loud but mostly peaceful Latinas. Remember, very competitive product, guys. It's not just because there are sponsors. You can go out there and do comparisons to what's out there in the market. No fluoride in your water. Refills your water with magnesium and other minerals. It's an under-the-sink system, so you're not going to have a big, huge kind of machinery that you need to put up on your counter taking up space. And in under $300 with a 10% off coupon of MPL10, you can have your unit and drink safe water that won't turn you gay or into one of the lizard people. We got a show today, and I would say that it's not a mostly peaceful show. It's not going to be peaceful at all.
It's never going to be peaceful.
It's never peaceful.
It's never going to be peaceful when you continue to politically persecute the best president that we've had in the last couple of years, when you continue to persecute Trump supporters, when you continue to lie, when you continue to weaponize the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, and every single agency against President Trump. And someone said today on Twitter, this is why good people don't get into politics. Because someone like Donald Trump, a billionaire who lived a wonderful life with a supermodel wife, with his beach club, properties all around the world, with his private plane, with his helicopter, with whatever he wanted, wanted to make America great again. And now he's going to jail. Over what? Over some stupid check, as we said last podcast with Roger Stone, that has nothing to do with his campaign finances, and it's just a witch hunt. And to be honest with you, we had structured when we were structuring the show, it was going to look a little bit different.
Yeah.
But then we got the news of President Trump being indicted. So obviously, that's going to be our main focus today. We're going to talk about what's going on with Trump, what we know, what some of the DeSantis team are saying, some of the stuff. This is exactly why we have been so, we've been against Ron.
We've been calling out
Ron DeSantis because he's shady, because he is the candidate that they want to swap Biden for so they can install him and pretend like it's a MAGA base and a win for the Republican Party, for the middle of and for the moderates of America. But we're also going to talk about the restrict out, the TikTok ban. That was, thank God for Ron Paul. Thank God for the only senator from both aisles that stopped this invasive Patriot Act 2.0 from being passed in the Senate floor last night. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the unfortunate event, the shooting that happened, which is a Christian hate crime in Nashville last week or earlier this week. And we're going to talk a little bit also about the PR stunt that was once again exposed by Governor DeSantis. Yet another PR
time
stunt.
Exposes everything, right, with DeSantis.
Right. And we have a desgraciado of the week, a disgrace of the week, which is one of our haters, used to be friends with us and decided to attack us yesterday on Twitter for no reason at all, other than people are unhinged and somehow like to pick fights with the wrong people like us. So that is what we have in store for you guys. But I think we want to start off with a prayer for President Trump. You guys know we've never done a prayer. Bella prays a lot. I pray a lot. Personally, I'm going to be real with you guys. I just learned the Bible in English. Like I don't really know the Bible in English because I went to Catholic school in Colombia and I just learned everything in Spanish. But with that being said, we want to ask God. We want to pray for America. We want to pray for President Trump. We want to ask our Heavenly Father to please protect us, protect President Trump from the evil reigns that have gotten a hold of this country, that have us hostage under this occupation. And we just, you know, it's not just about this man. I know that they call us a cult. I know that people think we're just obsessed. It's not about that. It's about the movement. It's about America. It's about the powers and the dirty people that are trying to, it's not about him. Remember, we are just in the way. He is just in the way. They're trying to get to us. So we want to pray. We want to ask God to please protect all of us, the country, even those that disagree with us, because they don't understand. The Democrats, the liberals, the people that are not with us, they don't understand that they're also being taken advantage of. You understand? So we want to thank God. And we also want to ask God to enlighten all of those that are full of hate against President Trump. And even if they don't vote for him, just making realize that our country is going through a very tough time. This is a banana republic. This reminds me of Colombia when our great president, Álvaro Uribe, was put on house arrest. And, you know, that's all we can hope for. We can just, you know, have faith in God and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're very happy to see you guys. There's 84 of you. That's amazing. Thank you for being with us tonight. Obviously, you guys already know what's going on. We thought that maybe Trump was going to be let off the hook because the Manhattan DA said that they were going to like take a break or something like that for like a whole month. But then today, out of nowhere, they say that Trump is going to be indicted. Now, right before we got here, I got the news, the Florida legislature, the Florida Republicans, who, by the way, are in the pockets of DeSantis, fear DeSantis and do whatever he says. Whatever DeSantis wants to do, the rhinos and the Republican Party of Florida, they do, they bow their heads and they just go along with it. And basically today at 6:08 p.m., there's a bill that is being filed so that Ron DeSantis could run for office for president in 2024 while still keeping his job as governor. So that happens today, right as his number one opponent, Donald Trump, gets indicted. What do you think, Bella?
I think it justifies everything that we've been saying up to now. Linda and I will fall on the sword time and time and time again to bring you guys a perspective that will stop you from falling for the trap. We want you guys to be able to have the foresight and the ability to see past smoke and mirrors, past a smoke show. This is not supportive. To those people that say that the party's being divided, like we posted in that clip from Roger Stone on Instagram the other day, the only person truly dividing the party is Ron DeSantis running for president at a time when America is already so divided after what we experienced in 2020. I think it's a really somber day today. I spoke to my father on the way over here. For those of you that don't know, my family escaped communism. My father was left an orphan when he was very young. His father was assassinated by the Communist Party. My grandmother was a political prisoner for almost 12 years. For almost 12 years, my grandmother was a political prisoner. And when I got on the phone with him, he asked me, is it true? Is Trump really going to get indicted? And I said, yeah, it looks like it's true. And immediately he's like, this is bad. Like, I never thought that I would see this country get to the point that we're at right now. Like so many Latinos, we escape our home countries. We leave our home countries. We become exiles, immigrants. It's not an easy life. So we do that in search of a better opportunity, a better life. And America promises that. And there's a reason why more people come into America than any other world and than any other country in the world, why more people want to be Americans than any other place in the world. And it's actually quite sad to see what America stood for crumble in front of our eyes, right? When you see a former president so disrespectfully be treated, an indictment of a former president. I mean, when we know what we know about Barack Obama, about Hillary Clinton,
we know that
Bill Clinton
about Bill Clinton, when we know what's happened in the past with these very corrupt politicians, and how, you know, one has to speculate that the only reason why during Donald Trump's 4-year presidency there wasn't more action against those people is because there's still some kind of hope that you're able to maintain the normalcy of America throughout it. And to see something like this happen, it really just, there's no rules anymore. It's a
banana republic.
There's no safety net. There's no rules. We don't know what's going to happen. I know we're going to get into the Restrict Act later, but just the fact that legislators would feel so bold as to even draft up a bill like
today.
That. Where are we? What kind of twilight zone are we existing in where these politicians have become so bold that they would put pen to paper and say, yes, we want to take your rights away and give and strip you of your freedom of speech, your freedom of privacy, your right to due process. I don't know what country I'm living in anymore.
It's what I said the other day. Colombians went through this. We had the greatest president. We had Álvaro Uribe. He was at war with the guerrillas. And because he did what they like to call human rights violations, basically just like bombing these people and killing them through an operation, he ended up being indicted and he was under house arrest. And they did this to Fujimori over in Peru, and they're going to do it to President Bukele if his party ever gets out of power. I guarantee you that Bukele is going to go to jail for doing the right thing. And this is how you know that we are already living in a new world order. Yep. This is something that people need to understand. When people complain and say that, oh, we can't get to the new world order, we got to stop it, we've been there for a very long time. The powers that have gotten a hold of Europe, Latin America, Canada, and the US is the new world order. That's why you see the counter move from BRICS. Who is that? Brazil, China, South Africa, Russia, and I think India as well. That's why you see these so-called dictators, our enemies. And again, it's not to say that they're the good guys. I don't think President Xi, who's a communist, is a good guy. I don't think the guy from Africa is a better one, or Vladimir Putin. But the reality is that they don't want to play along with the new world order of our government, of our leaders, of the George Soros of the world. Mm-hmm. So what do they have to do? What do they have to do? Unite against the United States of America.
This is a hard concept for a lot of people to understand, because we don't, by definition, communism is bad and communists are bad and communist dictatorships are bad. And we can agree on that. However, globalism is communism on steroids. So we are in a gray zone that I don't think a lot of people understand, where the only countries that have the ability to insulate themselves and protect themselves from this globalist mindset are those countries that have these authoritarian type governments that allow the power to be given so that they can do that without having to play the politics of the WHO and the United Nations and the 3001 globalist organizations that are trying to bring these countries together, when in reality what it is, it's under the guise of unity and solving world problems, but in reality is ushering in globalism. So it is it's a very difficult concept for people to understand that I'm Cuban. The Castro regime did a lot of damage to my family. And on that same token, I can still understand that the Castro regime wants to remain in power of Cuba. And because they want to remain in power of Cuba, they don't want to give the power to the globalists. So the globalists, at this junction, we do have a common enemy. Communists and patriots have a common enemy, which are the globalists. And that is the bigger picture of what it is that we are fighting right now. And by no means is it advocating for these communists. We want that to go away too. In fact, if anything, globalism is an extension of allowing that cancer of communism to consider to exist and not be eradicated as it should be. But here we are.
But here's the thing. And a lot of people didn't like the post that I made of President AMLO, the dude from Mexico, because they say that he's a communist and he plays along with Cuba and all these people. But those people have actually said better things about Trump and the truth more than any other world leader from the Western world.
Because the first person that spoke out against what they're doing to Trump was the Mexican president, who's a centrist, who's a populist, who's more on the left. And so did Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin was the first person that knew that the election was going to be stolen. He's the first person that spoke against the January 6th indictments. He was actually the first person that, after Trump became president in 2016, said that they were trying to undermine Trump's presidency because he was their only person, the only real president that the United States has had for a very long time. Andrew Tate said it as well. Andrew Tate has a viral clip that goes a viral clip talking about why Putin is on Trump's side. And it's not that he likes America or he likes us, is that he knows the powers of Obama, the powers of the Clinton are much greater than Trump. Trump came out with a statement going after DeSantis for what he said about Russia, because Russia, DeSantis came out and said that Russia was basically like a gas station, that a dictator at a gas station with all these nuclear weapons. And so Trump comes out with a statement and he says, hey, listen, we respect Russia. Like, we respected their history. Like, they fought with us in World War II. They lost 20 million people. And that is exactly why these dictators got along with Trump. And that you see now the Brazil and China, France, all these countries, they're dropping the dollars. They're going to drop the dollar they're going to drop the dollar. Like, we are headed towards, I don't even want to say it, but I think it's going to be really bad.
Well, I mean, I think that it goes back to the point that you've said, which the New World Order is already here. And sometimes you go on the internet and people seem to be angry about the fact that it's here. They think that if it's just like, well, how much longer can this go on for? We can't take it anymore. This needs to be stopped. And it's like, you can feel that way all that you want, but it doesn't change the reality that we're now currently existing in, which is that we are living in a globalist New World Order. And what you're watching is their takeover happen in a slow and steady pace as to not to entice, the opposition of people fighting back or whatnot. It's boiling frog. If you don't notice that it's happening and it happens very slowly, you're less inclined to fight back for your life, which is where it is that we're at right now.
If Trump wasn't such a threat, and this is the thing that pisses me off about the conservative intellects like Matt Walsh, and I know you guys like him and everybody else, but they have this whole conspiracy theory that the reason why Trump is being indicted is because the left wants him to get to be the nominee so that we can lose to the left. This is how you can tell people that were born here, they're so privileged. They've never lived in banana republics like I've lived in a banana republic. So it's not that I want to take a hit at these people or to talk bad against them. They just, their worldview has only been shaped by what they have seen in America. So their hate for Trump, because let's be honest, there's a lot of these conservatives or principal Republicans that hate Donald Trump and don't want to see him in office, right? All of the Daily Wire is an example. They're actually paid by DeSantis. Like, there's a $100,000 transaction between the DeSantis team and the Daily Wire. There's the $21,000 transaction between Ron DeSantis and the Babylon Bee. There's also collusion between Ron DeSantis and Will Witt's Florida Standard. If you guys didn't notice, Will Witt or Ron DeSantis took one question when they asked him about the Trump indictment last week. He took one question. That one person that asked, her name is Megan, and she's a reporter that works for Will Witt. Will Witt is sponsored and funded by DeSantis donors. So this man, DeSantis, he can't even answer questions outside of the preempt and predisposed questions that they give him and the answers that they give him. So we were all fooled by this man. I was fooled. She was fooled. It's not that we suddenly turned on DeSantis because Trump told us to. We were all under the spell. We all thought he was doing great things. And then when we started following up with certain things that he said he was going to do and they weren't actually fulfilled and they weren't actually happening and it was all a PR stunt, we realized that the entire DeSantis thing, he has been overhyped. He's not that great of a governor. He's done very basic things. And the majority of his hype actually came from COVID, where he basically simulated the same policies that came from the White House. He followed every single policy that came from the White House. So I think that this is actually going to elevate Trump's popularity. I've seen a lot of people that were on the fence about Trump
that I said, we don't really know if we will vote for Trump again. I think we would prefer someone else. I think all those people seeing this happen is going to completely turn their perspective and say, this is the guy that I want fighting for us. Ron DeSantis put out a weak statement. Janet Nunes, who's our lieutenant governor, put out a weak statement. Glenn Youngkin from Virginia put out a weak statement. They can't even mention this guy's name. They treat him like Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter. They don't even mention Trump's name. They say political persecution of a former president. Like, I don't need a fucking weak meatball that can't even mention a president's name. I can't
much
vote
less
for
that. I think that the most shocking part is that, which I can't fathom how people still say that he's not running and that's just the division, is why wouldn't he take the Nikki Haley route? Nikki Haley said, I'm not going to run against President Trump. And then President Trump told her, no, Nikki, you should run.
Right.
You should run. Why not take that stance? Why not? I feel prepared to run for president. However, I do support President Trump and therefore I'll hold back from doing so. Or call Trump up and tell him I want to run and act like a man about it. Be a man. Call Donald Trump, who handed you your political career. Explain, I am very appreciative of what you did for me, but I feel like right now is my time. And handle it like a man. The worst part about Ron DeSantis' campaign, and this is something that the simps can't process through their head. The worst part of the DeSantis' campaign is that it's been deceptive. It's happened in the shadows. Yeah. He's collected money behind our backs. He's doing tours under the name of book tours. None of that is real. It's deceptive. It's more lies. I'd rather deal with Trump's mean words and mean him tweets. Being mean and childish, and he says mean names. I'd rather deal with that because it's real. And we don't have that anywhere else in politics. Everybody's so worried about being political and having their little stuffy position, and nobody wants to be real. And I think that if Ron DeSantis would have handled this differently and picked up the phone and said, Trump, I want to run.
Yeah.
How can we do this and not split the party, but where there's still an opportunity that it would have been different? What bothers us so much about what's going on is how deceptive it's been, not just against Donald Trump, but against all of us, because they think we're that stupid. This has been going on for over a year. They think we are that dumb, that we weren't going to check the finances, that we weren't going to follow the patterns, that we weren't going to figure it out and call him out on it. And then the worst part is that you do call them out. I know what you're doing. And then they gaslight you and they call you a cultist and they call you crazy and they say that you're obsessed and that you can't realize it's time to move on from Trump. That's what's worrisome about the DeSantis. It's not that he's running. It's not that, oh, well, Trump, he doesn't owe loyalty. Well, you've told me everything I need to know about you if you don't think that loyalty is that important. Right. But that's the conversation that's neither here nor there right now. It's not about that. It's the deceptive. And furthermore, it's a deception to the voters of Florida who fought like hell, didn't just vote for him, fought like hell to get him elected. Because here's something that nobody talks about. All these accomplishments that Ron DeSantis has toted around as his don't belong to him.
No.
They belong to the activists of Florida that have pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed against these politicians for the last 2 years at this point, pushing back for the first time in God knows how long, because nobody ever gave a fuck to be involved in politics. But here's Florida leading the way with the activism, pushing back, telling our politicians, we're not going to take it. We're going to vote you out. Ron DeSantis is only answering to the call that's being made by his constituents in Florida.
So he's abandoning us.
And now he's abandoning us. And he took credit for our accomplishments. And now he's abandoning us. And he's doing it behind our backs. It's like, el marido que se te va while you're at work. He packed up all the stuff and you get home and the house is clear. And you're like, what the fuck? What happened here?
Yeah. And he doesn't care. I just want to give a shout out to all of our super chats, starting with, even before we started, I know Shootout305, who couldn't be here today. Thank you, Shootout, so much. Adam, you're always here supporting us. Thank you so much. I don't know how to say.
At the beginning.
Right. I was going to say, I don't know how to say his name.
Zondo.
It says it's MAGA versus everybody and we will prevail. I agree. I think MAGA is stronger than ever. And again, this is why I'll get into the TikTok situation later, because I use TikTok for research purposes to see what the people are saying. And let's see.
Pedro Andres, Crisis King. That is right.
Yes, Crisis King, sir.
Eric Tabu, thank you for being with us today. He says, Trump Defense Fund. Our friend Martha, you are the best. We haven't seen you here in a bit, but thank you so much. She says, thank you, ladies, for your research, knowledge, and insight. Facts over fiction, over gossip every time. You guys are true journalists. Thank you, Martha. And yeah, I mean, look, it's like I've been telling people for a while. So when you go on Twitter, right? If you guys follow me on... By the way, I got my account back from Elon Musk. I got my Wake Up with Linda account back. It's locked. I don't want to use it because I just don't want to use it right now. Like, it's Twitter's too much. There's too much infighting. It's chaotic. It's ugly. And I don't even care. I don't even care for it. I don't know what to tell you. I just hate it. I hate the entire political sphere and it gives me anxiety. So I can't use it. So I'm using the podcast to build us up on Twitter. But with that being said, what's been happening on Twitter is that they have an entire AstroTurf campaign for Ron DeSantis. So it's the same people echoing the same exact message. And we've talked about it on this podcast. And I can go through some of those people. Jesse Kelly, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, not really Candace Owens that much. Pedro Gonzalez is another one. John Cardildo, Marina Medvin, who blocked me, and a few other people. And so they are what we like to call the pundit class and the political elite who's against Trump and pro DeSantis. They're not necessarily being paid. What it is that they have access to the governor's communications team. They have access to his mansion. They can go to events. They get invited. They get to have interviews with him because DeSantis only goes where he's allowed to talk. He's basically...
Without opposition.
He doesn't want to give interviews to liberal media. And at first, we were cheering this on. You're like, hey, F the media, F the liberal media. But the reality is that Trump took on everybody. Like, Trump was taking on Jim Acosta. He was taking the people of MSNBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News. And DeSantis cannot even talk to the weakest media journalist at all. Like, they present him as, we're fighting the media because the media is bad, the liberal media is bad. But in reality, it's because he doesn't have a personality, that he can't stand questions that aren't premeditated and aren't handed to him the same way that you guys see Biden with his little note cards.
Teleprompter.
It's the same way that Ron DeSantis acts, right? So when I go on TikTok, and we've been doing research for a couple months, yep. If you go on there, I don't have a Wake Up Olinda account. I don't care to have a Wake Up Olinda account. I don't give a crap, to be honest with you, or be a famous TikToker for that matter. I care about research, and you guys know that. So what we started noticing is that when I'm on Twitter, I see the same motherfuckers talking about move on from Trump, right? Certain keywords that we have identified, including move on from Trump. Trump can win the moderates. Trump can win this. Trump can win that. When you go on TikTok, it's a decentralized social media where you see people that you've never seen before. Blacks, Indians, Muslims, Latinos, whites, Caucasians, Gen Z, Gen X, even boomers, all for Trump. Many of them who were Biden voters in 2020. So now we're being told by these pundits on Twitter that Trump cannot possibly win in 2024 because he's not going to get the moderates, he's not going to get the independents, and because he drives so many people to vote against him. Meanwhile, I'm going on TikTok and seeing the complete different scenario. The complete opposite. And every single one of these videos is fucking viral. So am I to think that the Chinese are pushing for Trump? Is that what I'm like? This is where it doesn't fit in my head.
Well, I mean,
the logic is not there.
Haven't you noticed that the majority of the people who bring up the argument that the TikTok algorithm is swayed in America, don't have TikTok and therefore can't actually tell you what's on the algorithm? You don't know how the algorithm works. The algorithm in TikTok, if anything, is recognized for how precise and specific it is. So if when you open up your TikTok app, you've got nothing but degeneracy on your app, then you need to evaluate the behaviors that you are having on your phone which is the data that they collect to build a personality profile for you that then dictates what the content is that you are going to get on your phone. There's no Chinaman and on his computer saying, oh, this one's a Trump supporter. Let me feed her this information. No. Oh, this one's this age. Let me feed them this. That's not what's happening. The content is AI that's responsive to behavior.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the argument on the reel that I made today that I'm pretty sure they're shadow banning.
Yeah, they are shadow banning.
They are shadow banning it, of course, because of the keywords. This people want to make the argument, well, TikTok has a different algorithm in China and it teaches kids about math and masculinity and all these other things. And then they give the jacked up version to America. No, beloved, that's not how that works.
That ain't it.
China is a communist country that therefore controls all forms of media. China has outlawed LGBT content, content that demasculates boys, content that's considered vulgar. All of that is illegal by law, content to put on the internet. And because it is illegal, it's not that they can't pump it out in the algorithm, is that it doesn't exist in the algorithm because it is illegal.
The same
in
America,
Russia. We have this thing called the First Amendment. And the First Amendment allows for freedom of speech, which means that I don't have to like you being a degenerate. But if you want to be a degenerate on the internet, you can be. And I don't have to like watching you be a degenerate. But if somebody does like watching you be a degenerate, you can be. It's why we have OnlyFans as well. Nobody wants to ban OnlyFans for that degeneracy. The algorithm in America is a representation
of our culture,
of American culture. You're going to get what your behaviors say that you want to get. The algorithm isn't swayed by the Chinese. I did an experiment. I went on and I went to find videos of the protests against China and Taiwan.
Yeah.
I found those.
Yeah.
I went to go find videos about Chinese organ harvesting. I found those. I went to go find footage about the Uyghurs. I found that.
Yeah.
So if the CCP is controlling this algorithm so that we have this perception of China and get, why is all of this content allowed to be out there? Same call, people that say, well, we don't need to have, we just need to get rid of TikTok and then just have another alternative. What alternative, bro? Nobody wants your alternative. There's no other alternative. That's why people are leaving Facebook.
What about all the Christian businesses?
There are so many
Christian businesses and Christian Gen Z content that gets millions of views. I actually saved a TikTok because it's like a 15-second clip of a Gen Z Christian account that's not narrating the Bible, but instead of just narrating the Bible, like, you know, like reading off of the Bible, they're basically talking in the Gen Z slang. So like, oh, like Jesus took an L, but on the third day he like had a glow up, and like the entire lingo that only Gen Z understands. And I'm like, so this is the type of stuff that the China man is pushing. And by the way, that I've had conversations with conservatives, not only politicians, but also conservative influencers about this on the side. And I said, do you guys realize that what you're pushing for is for more censorship? Like, do you realize that what you want, you are criticizing China for the same thing that you're asking our legislators to do, which is to ban an app that you don't like based on conspiracies and the fact that perhaps maybe in the future, China could have our data, and none of this is actually confirmed. And by the way, Ron Paul, you guys should go after, because the video is too long. It's like 3-4 minutes long, but you should go after we're done here on YouTube and Google Senator Ron Paul TikTok hearing, where he literally mops the floor against both Democrats and Republicans. And he makes the argument that I have been making. There's no proof of any of the things that they say. It's all based on paranoia and honestly bullying of one app just based on the fact that they're Chinese and it's decentralized and they can't control it. The FBI has no control of it. The Biden administration has no control of it. The CIA doesn't have control of it. Also, he says, our First Amendment is supposed to protect even communists, even Nazis.
right? But we have gotten so far away from what the First Amendment is. And then he even calls out conservative influencers who have been banned from almost every single app, including Twitter, including YouTube, including Facebook and Instagram, and asked them, like, why are you guys simping from fucking Mark Zuckerberg, who has banned all of us? Why are you guys simping for this guy? Because you guys don't like the China man? So you guys need to go watch that video because he mops the floor. And then the last thing he says is, if you guys think that Americans are too dumb to know what's good and bad, like it's like, oh, like I had a conversation with a politician this week and I swear to God, like it gave me a headache. Like it gave me a fucking aneurysm. And this person is telling me like, oh, they're brainwashing the youth. Like the people are going to get brainwashed and da 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 da. And I was like, but that's not up to you to decide though. That's not up to you to decide, because it's the same thing. It's the same argument that the left makes as to why they want to ban conservative content, as to why they want to ban somebody like the lips of TikTok or the people that the Matt Walsh, because he posts about transgenders. You guys are making the same exact argument. And by the way, that Restrict Act bill that both conservatives and both Republicans and Democrats were pushing was going to be the Patriot Act of the internet. They were even going to have access to your ring light.
It's worse than the Patriot Act. I'd argue that it was much worse. I argue that it's the bold move. All right, so let's go back, because maybe some of you don't understand the history of the Patriot Act. On September 11, 2001, America woke up to one of the greatest tragedies that this country has ever seen. The government immediately jumped to what it is that they do, which was fear stroking, and feed fear and feed fear and feed fear and feed fear, so much so that they said, we have laws that we have to pass. And if you ever want to be safe again, you have to allow us to pass these laws. And so they did. They passed the Patriot Act, which allowed the government to decide that you were a national threat and therefore could invade your privacy by tapping your phone, checking in on your stuff. They had to prove that you were a threat in order to be able to spy on you. So the Patriot Act allowed the government to spy on you. That's why we have Facebook collecting data and giving it to the federal government. That's why we have banks that can cancel conservatives and say, we're not going to do business with you anymore. All of this is connected right back to the Patriot Act. What the Restrict Act, and whether or not it's set on the floor, is so irrelevant at this point. The fact that they were even bold enough to put that into paper and take a vote on it
was gross.
The Restrict Act was going to completely strip you of your constitutional rights. And it was 100% targeted at conservatives. Granted, it would have been applied across the board to just about everybody that could have become an issue for them. But it was specifically targeted at conservatives. It was targeted at private citizens. It was targeted at people who had ever questioned the outcome of presidential election. It stripped you of your right to due process. So no legal system, no court. The president and some secret committee made up of a bunch of Secret Service and CIA and FBI shit agencies were going to get to determine on whether or not you were a national security threat. This is the same man that said that there was no bigger threat to America than MAGA Republicans. And this guy was going to be able to decide if you single-handedly as a user were a threat to America because you used a VPN to get back into your account on Facebook because you got kicked out because you posted a picture of his crackhead son. That's the guy that's going to determine if you're a national threat to security. They weren't just going to, this isn't Patriot Act 2.0. No, this is 1984 George Orwell. This would have been complete control. You know what it is that they can log in to your security cameras? Do you guys know that the DirecTV, your control has a microphone that speaks to the connection of the TV. So if you say, I want to watch, oh, I don't know,
video games,
whatever it is,
anything,
that remote control has a speaker that the government could turn on to listen to you. This is shit out of like Dark Mirror or whatever.
But how
the
do they get
game.
You? How do they get you? Through propaganda, through right wing propaganda. And people get so pissed. They've gotten so mad at me. Like, why are you saying that it's right-wing propaganda? It's not right-wing propaganda. It's this, it's that. And I said, because, I'm going to tell you why. Because Meta hired, and I've said this 1,000 times, and there's even a highlight on my Instagram called TikTok Gate. You guys can go check it out after. Where Meta hired a Republican PR firm called Targeted Victory. What was Targeted Victory's role in this entire thing? Their role was to hire PR agencies across the country so that they had connections in the media and fed these narratives about TikTok to Republicans specifically. How? Fear of China. How else
The TikTok challenges. Oh, the chicken. What is it that the kids were cooking the chicken with the cough syrup or whatever? All those things were planted there by one PR firm. And if there's one thing that we have learned in the last 2 years since we exposed Balsera Communications here in Miami for being the PR firm behind Antifa, is that most narratives that you see are online or in the news are literally created by people and well-funded. The same way that they drilled into liberals' heads that Russia was interfering in our election. Russia, 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 Russia. So even when you present the facts to a liberal, like, look, Trump is not indicted. There was no election interference. Like, look, here's the proof. They don't care because they have already been brainwashed. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's why they do through social media. That's what they do through campaigns, PR, influencers. So whenever you see something that is being repeated over and over again, the same thing with the Trump can win moderates, Trump can win the independents, move on from Trump. All of these lines, all of these keywords are literally identified by PR companies, and then they execute and spread it through the internet.
You want to know how you'll know if you are a victim of a PR campaign? Try going against the narrative. Try challenging it. Ask a question to counter it. Ask people, is it illegal to do business with companies in China? Because it's not. The majority of our politicians have a lot of money invested into Chinese companies. So what's really the threat? Ask yourself, can you challenge it? Can you tell people, I think somebody actually asked in the chat, and I'm glad that they asked, so let me clarify for you. Well, Trump wanted to ban it. Don't you guys support Trump? Trump wanted to ban TikTok. No. Trump is a businessman. Trump wanted to acquire the fastest growing app in the world. And he was using a ban to leverage that acquisition. He wanted that company to be sold to an American company because he wanted Americans to have control of the fastest growing app in the world.
And move the servers. Are here in Texas. That's why it's called Project Texas. Oracle has the servers. And that's one thing that Ron Paul, I want you guys to please go look at that video because he mopped the floor with Senator Hawley. That's one thing that he said yesterday. He said, this is the one social media app that has been so compliant with us because they want to make money. They want to make money, right? They make money off of ads. They don't really make money like of users like paying them. They make money off of ad revenue, and they want to make so much money that they're willing to comply with anything that we ask them. Move your servers, no problem. Third-party company needs to audit us, no problem. Everything that they have asked TikTok to do, they have complied, and you guys can go see it.
Well, I really think that people should go read the original EO that Trump wrote out in 2020, read through it line by line, and you will understand that Trump was doing, per usual, his art of the deal. He was trying to acquire TikTok. So this idea that Trump just wanted to ban TikTok, that's not true. Then why did he give them the ultimatum? Why did he tell them you have 90 days to remedy this? You have 90 days to sell the company. You have 90 days for us to go audit ByteDance to make sure that all the information did in fact leave the Chinese servers and come to American ones. In fact, you can't even decide who you're going to sell it to without us being involved in the decision, which thank God for that. Because let me tell you guys, the worst thing I would want 1,000,000% prefer to hit yes, knowing that some Chinaman in China is looking at my data, doing running errands around my house, looking at cooking videos. I will 1,000,000% prefer to hit yes on that than to give Facebook one more inch with my privacy.
You know, even,
there is patriots in DC gulags right now, not 100 years from now, like the Chinese fight their war. Right now, there is patriots in gulags, patriots like many of us that went to January 6th to peacefully protest that are in there because Facebook turned them into the FBI. So don't tell me that Facebook is Don't tell me that Facebook isn't a bigger threat to Americans than TikTok. Don't tell me that Twitter, that allows a criminal network like Antifa to organize, raise money, that allows them to remain on Twitter, that that's not a bigger threat. I always know which ones of you are in your couch at home in the safety of the internet, giving your opinions. I know which ones of you are not fighting. I know which ones of you are not at committee meetings. I know which ones of you are not getting attacked by Antifa. I know which ones of you haven't been doxxed, because it's always so easy for you. Don't tell me that TikTok is a bigger threat than the two platforms that we've seen weaponized against us for the last 2 years. And when I say us, I mean patriots, Americans, specifically conservative American with conservative views that have supported Donald Trump. Why on earth? The argument that you people are making, I'd rather it be an American company, because at least you can hold an American company accountable.
Who was accountable? They took our election.
Facebook straight up said, we helped fortify the election, and no one did squat, bro. No one did squat. So accountability, at least I know that they'll have to have some level of accountability with the Chinese. Bro? No, absolutely. I would rather hit yes and give my information to the Chinese to track me and my organization on my closet and my bullshit and my text, and I don't care, than to give Facebook one more inch and by extension to the FBI and the CIA.
It's true. Just so you guys know, the reason why Antifa is allowed to exist, the reason why Antifa is allowed to burn down police over in Georgia, the reason why Antifa is allowed to dox people is because of Twitter. Antifa exists because of Twitter. And you guys, if you guys have been hearing our podcast for the last couple of months, for those of you who have been here for a while, you guys know that we've talked about the Antifa network on Twitter. And you know who else documents the Antifa network on Twitter? Andy Ngo. And Nino's probably the only person that understands that Antifa is allowed to exist because of Twitter. When have you guys ever heard any congressman, any senator, anyone at all from Republicans or Democrats talk about Antifa? When? Never.
Never.
Never. They allow Antifa to operate on Twitter because that is an extension of both parties and keeps us intimidated, because it happened to us. When Antifa wanted to start doxing parents, when Antifa wanted to start doxing everybody that was going to the school board meeting, when Antifa wanted to come after her job, my stuff, and they did it through Twitter. They did it through Twitter.
Yeah.
Somebody, my friend just texted me saying that I was saying the wrong name of, it's not wrong. It's not, what is it? It's Rand Paul. It's not Ron Paul. It's Rand Paul. It's really my accent.
It's your accent.
It's my accent.
It's
my accent. Sorry, guys. It's my accent. I'm sorry, dude, guys.
Did you watch the clip of Lindsey Graham on Jesse Waters yesterday? So Jesse Waters is reading the restrict bill to his audience, doing his little monologue before he brings Lindsey Graham on. And then he brings Lindsey Graham on and he's like, Senator, how do you support this bill? And he's like, I don't support the Restrict Act. It's like, bro,
your name is right here.
You're a co-sponsor. The fuck? Of course you support the act. He's like, I'm going to have to look into that. You know, the big problem is China. China's the problem. Bro, you, how many years?
He looked high too. Like Lindsey Graham looked kind of high.
How many years has Lindsey Graham been in politics? How many years consecutive terms has he had?
At least 15.
At least like a million, right? So he's been in Congress. You mean to tell me that you've been a senator for a million years and the single most important act that has ever passed your desk that would strip Americans of just about 70% of all rights they've ever had and consequentially, of course, strip them of every single right that they have. You mean to tell me that you're going on live TV and you're admitting that you didn't read this bill and you co-sponsored it? You're who's left in charge of our country? So then you either co-sponsored it maliciously, knowing what was inside the bill, or you co-sponsored it irresponsibly, not knowing what was in the bill. And I don't know if any case is good for Lindsey Graham and the people behind this. I hope that every single person remembers the names of the people in these committees, remembers the names of the people that voted against your better interests, voted against America with this bill. I hope, I haven't had the time, and God knows I'm not going to have the time for a little bit, but I really hope that somebody does the research and calls out the hypocrisy and starts pulling how many of these people that voted yes on this bill have money vested in Chinese companies overseas.
Wait, and it's not just that. The stocks that they have in Meta.
Ah, yes.
Dan Crenshaw is an example. Both Democrats and Republicans have money in Meta. They own stock in Meta and Google, which is the parent company of YouTube, which is why they want to ban their competition so bad so that they can win, obviously, right? Somebody said, wait, this was really funny. They don't read the bills. I can guarantee you they don't read the bills. I know they don't read the bills because, for example, right now when we're still going through the Florida legislature, the legislative session in Florida, and I was working with an organization, Center for Health Freedom, and they're trying to pass this bill to protect Floridians for real medical freedom, not the fake shit that we have right now where you can still be asked to wear a mask if you don't want to take the Fauci ouchie. And, you know, when they went to present the bill, they said, hey, Senator, I forgot if it was a congressman, like, this is what you presented. This is what we want. And he's like, no, I didn't. And like, I talked to these organizations, the ones that are like watchdogs and that actually try to pass good legislation. And they tell me all the time, like, these people, sometimes they don't even remember that they signed their name on the bill. They don't even remember that.
It's a joke. It's a joke. The way that bills get passed in this country needs to change.
We are literally ran by idiots. Like, even when it comes to the data sharing, when I tried to talk to some legislators about data sharing, because I've advertised on Facebook since 2015, so I know how much you can actually target someone based on behaviors. Like, I can target you on Facebook right now. If you ever interacted with Zara, the brand, I can target you. If you ever bought from, like, you know, I can target you if you interacted with Bad Bunny or a Cardi B. Like, that is how much data of behaviors they have on you on Facebook.
Down to a market.
Down to yeah. Your age, down to your city, down to even how much you make. I mean, that's why I was like, one day I'm just going to show them how we can target ads, and they're going to be like spooked out because it's so detailed. It's so detailed. You know, I said it the other day when I had the travel agency I was targeting newly, like, my bread and butter was mostly bachelor and bachelorette parties. So I was targeting people that had recently gotten engaged on Facebook and they changed their status. Remember when you used to change your status on Facebook from single to married, from single to engaged? You can target people based on that too. That's how much data Facebook has of you. But anyways,
I want to make a comment on something that got triggered that's completely irrelevant to what we were talking about, but not really. It's more of like an overall statement. Somebody says it's always the boomers. Let me tell you guys something about the boomers. And let me tell you something about the Gen Zers boomers that I was telling them today. The Gen Zers are doing everything that the millennials wish they could have told the boomers. I remember going into the workplace and being abused by boomers. Your generation is lazy. Your generation wants instant gratification. Your generation wants this. You don't want to work. It was always attacking millennials. You're always on your freaking phone. You're never. It was always boomers always attacking millennials. And millennials always were kind of like still trying to prove themselves to boomers in some way. Like, no, man, we're just trying to get there in a different way than you were. The lack of fucks
I love them.
That the Zoomers have.
I love them.
The way that Generation Z will straight up tell you, shut up, boomer. Shut up, old man. Our country's in the shitter because you fell asleep at the wheel. You don't get to tell me what we're going to do now. God, I love Generation Z. I really, truly do not mind being the older generation to Gen Z. I really think they're leading the way. They're all about entrepreneurship. They're like, oh, you think I don't have good work ethic? How about I don't want to work in your stupid company? I'm going to go start my own shit. I'm going to go start my own company. I'm going to become an influencer. I'm going to start an online brand. You cannot, like, that big middle finger to the boomers is just, I live for that. I just have to say that. I had to give a shout out to Generation Z because they're really, they're having a moment right now.
They are. Also, quick shout out to our lady friend, Hablando Como Dos Locos. Glad to see you, ladies. Our channel has been suspended and also lost my voice. No. Great show. You're going to have to tell us on the side what your channel got suspended. If we can help you in any way, we definitely will. Hope, good to see you here again. She says, such a valuable show you ladies do. Thank you both and God bless you. Thank you so much, Hope. Good to see you again here. We saw you last time. And Stacy, thank you so much. She says, I love the energy tonight. Thank you, Stacy.
The support. Guys, the super chats mean so much to us.
We get to pay our studio.
We really fully fund our show with our little 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah, for real.
The help that we get from Sentry. So when you guys come through with the super chats, it just means that we can continue to create good content and having, again, to bring up our sponsors that believe in us and having Sentry H2O believe of us. Please, if you can't support the donation, consider checking out their website and showing support through there with the MPL10 code. But thank you guys so much for believing in us and those contributions. They really do go a long way.
We do have, you know, for the Christians, we don't want you to go because this is really important.
Oh, let's go.
This is very, very important. If you are a Christian, I want to see you here for at least 10 more minutes because this is really important. Okay. I respect all religions. I got my Muslim friends. I got my Jewish friends. I'm my Hindu friends. I love them. But our religion is under attack, right? Our religion is under attack. And I say that, you know, I said this week, I said, really, Christians have to really take a step back and analyze how they are part of the problem. And how they're part of the problem is because they're weak, is because they're complacent, is because a lot of them think that, oh, you know, the Bible says that we're going to be persecuted. And so we're just going to like let it happen. When other religions are getting laws passed for them, like here in Florida, right? I got a lot of heat a few weeks ago when I exposed HB 269, the anti-Semitic speech bill that is probably going to be passed by both Democrats and Republicans. And so we just had a very unfortunate event. Rest in peace to the 6 victims, right? From the Nashville shooting.
3 small children and three educators or staff of the school.
Which was clearly a hate crime. It was a hate crime.
It was a hate crime.
By a transgender individual, mentally ill transgender individual. And obviously, even our administration, I think that Karine Pierre, whatever the press secretary, she had the audacity today to go on the desk to basically take the side of the transgender individuals and say that the transgenders are under attack, and never once mentioned the 6 victims of this Christian hate crime. And it's not the first time that it's happened. It's happened many times before. And we also have persecution over in Ukraine. Our brothers and sisters in Ukraine are suffering at the hands of the disgraced fucking asshole that is Zelensky. Because he banned the Orthodox Christian Church, the Russian Orthodox Christian Church. And you should see. And you know how I know this? The only reason why I know what's going on is because of TikTok. Yes. It's because of TikTok. It is the only reason that I know that's going on is because I've seen the videos of these poor Orthodox Christians in Ukraine in the snow, literally with their umbrellas covered in snow, trying to pray before they close down the monasteries and the churches from the Russian Orthodox
Churches.
Well,
isn't Israel next? Didn't Israel just
They stopped it because, yeah, they stopped it. But with that being said, somebody asked me, why are you blaming Christians? I said, it's not that I'm blaming Christians. It's that Jewish people do it so much better. And I have to give a shout out to the Jewish people because they are relentless.
Yep.
They stick together. They're relentless. And they do not care. They want laws passed for them. Let me tell you what happened here in Florida in the last 2 years for Jewish people. Okay? Governor DeSantis actually went to Israel when he first got inaugurated in 2019 to sign legislation. What was the first thing that he did? Made anti-Semitism speech in college campuses pretty much illegal, pretty much where you can criticize Israel, where you can criticize loyalty of double citizens. You can say all these things. So an infringement in our First Amendment rights in college campuses, because whatever, it's from the government. And why did he do it? Because of the Jewish legislators that we have here in the Florida House who said that students were being targeted in universities and in colleges. And guess what? Most of us said, you know what? Fine. You know, let's protect
Nobody
the Jewish people.
Nobody approves of
anti-Semitism. Right. We stand with a Jewish community, X, Y, and Z. We protect the Jewish community as Christians. We don't want anything bad to happen to them. But then it doesn't stop there because it never stops there, right? You give a little bit of your rights. You give them an inch, a little bit of your rights. And then what happens?
Come here.
They take everything from you. It starts like that. Then there's a bill that was signed in 2021 that basically, I think it's like a whole week of like Holocaust remembrance in schools. Also, they allow the Jewish ambulances. I guess like Jewish people want to have like their own ambulances.
Is it like a kosher thing? I thought maybe it was like a kosher thing because since, you know, ambulances are being treated, touching their blood and stuff like
whatever.
That.
Whatever.
I wasn't sure. But point of the matter is they get their own ambulances, and if they need it, by all means, knock yourself out.
And now fast forward to now, to today, present time, and we have Florida legislators passing laws HB 269 that is basically going to penalize and criminalize hate speech against Jewish people in the form of flyers and the even vocal. They even have a, they even say that if you say something to a person that's wearing a religious, like,
garment,
whatever you want to call it, you can go to jail for a hate crime, and it's going to be 5 years and for a
trolling.
Felony.
5 years for trolling.
For trolling a Jewish person or a Muslim person or whatever.
Here's my concern, right? Like, we all have to, I guess that's a difficult thing to define. I was going to say, we all know what hate speech is. No, we don't. We don't know what hate speech is defined. We can all agree that saying truly disgusting things about any group of people, calling for violence, calling for that's horrible. Nobody should condone that. That is illegal already as it is. Those are violent. Those are calls to violence, etc. We can admit that. I think that the really scary part is that because hate isn't exactly or necessarily defined, then this is a kind of bill that would put specifically Christian activists, which have been driving a lot, specifically here in Florida, attending school boards, going against the gender ideology, the CRT, the trying to insert prayer days in schools, the quote unquote book bannings, all of these things that are fights that are actually being led by Christians. This kind of bill would actually put them at a disadvantage, because while they are using a hateful group like the Goyim Defense League, who I personally think, I'll keep that to myself, but you know, they're out there antagonizing people. While that is part of what's going on, that's not where this law would stop. This law wouldn't just stop at hate groups like the Goyim Defense League. This law can go as far as if a parent is passing out a flyer that said something along the lines of gender ideology is, you know, something that I disagree with because of X, Y reasons, you know, that is considered hate speech. Somebody could say that you protesting abortions could be considered hate speech because in the Jewish faith, you have to allow abortions up to a certain point. There's no distinction, because it leaves the idea, the definition of what hate speech is an objective one. And it leaves that decision up to we don't know who. So when you have a bill like HB 269, which will absolutely be used by Jewish extremists, because that is an actual thing that exists, just like we have extremists of every kind, or even agitators and provocateurs that know that the worst thing that you can call a person is anti-Semitic and that you can ruin their lives. When you have a bill that allows them more freedom to be able to weaponize this against Christians, not only are Christians not demanding that they get the same treatment, we are being put at a disadvantage with these laws.
Yeah.
So it's not just, can we also get special laws? It's like, well, do you think that at a minimum, if you're going to create special laws for Jewish people, that they don't put Christians at a disadvantage?
That's what I'm saying.
And that
is literally the reason why I bring this up. When people say, hey, you know, how come no one's talking about the children and the Christians being murdered? Because we don't have a cohesive Christian community. And you may have it. I'm not talking about your community at home. There's beautiful communities. We have beautiful communities here. I don't want you guys to take that personal. I'm not attacking anybody. But what I'm trying to say is that we don't have a lot of these organizations like the Jewish people do that come together and say, you're going to pass bans for me. You're going to pass blasphemy laws. You're going to do this. We don't have that. You understand?
We also don't have the support. That.
We don't have the support. Right. And then when some of us do it, we come off as the crazy people and anti-Semites. I mean, I literally went at it we're cool now with a lawyer for the city of Miami who was coming after me and saying that I wanted anti-Semitic speech because I was against this bill. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's what you don't understand. I would personally never go harass a Jewish person outside of a synagogue. I would think that's disgusting. And if I saw that, I would probably intervene, even for a transgender. If I saw a person,
yeah,
disrespecting a transgender or bullying, I would intervene because absolutely, that's humanity. But guess what? That is going to put us at a disadvantage. Are we going to have blasphemy laws? Are you guys going to start contacting your Republican legislators and senators and saying, hey, how come you're passing bills to protect one class of people, which, by the way, no violence has occurred
throughout any of this.
That's the
There's no violence. There's no threats in any of these flyers. And these are things that we pointed out, that I pointed out to the legislators that want to pass this bill. Myself personally, I put together with her, we put together a a 4 or 5 page comprehensive report, which I posted it on Twitter. You guys can go see it. I could post it on my account as well if you guys want. I put together a comprehensive report and I say, these flyers, first of all, they're not really attacking the Jewish people. They're attacking people like George Soros, the ADL. So you're going to defend these people. Like, these are public people. You're not supposed to be passing laws that basically infringe prevent criticism of people like the ADL, George Soros, first of all. And second of all, you're creating a second class for the rest of us, for Christians who are the majority of your constituents, but they don't care. They don't care. Even friends of mine, people that I know in the legislature, I don't want to call them out that way, but even people that I respected, they didn't want to talk to me. They said, hey, can we put you in touch with the guy that wrote the bill instead? And I said, why am I going to talk to Randy Fine or Mike Caruso, who all they're going to do is cry about anti-Semitism on the phone and tell me that the next Holocaust is going to happen if we don't pass this bill? It's the same thing that they try to do with the TikTok bill. The Holocaust may happen again, so we're going to pass anti-Semitic laws. China may steal our data, so we're going to ban TikTok. You cannot pass laws based on fear. You can. Our Constitution is not contingent with what happened in 1933. It just isn't.
Well, we talked about this. This is what, unfortunately, what they use time and time again. They use pain, whether it be generational or demographic, and they use that pain to feed you fear and target these psyops at you that will get you to go with whatever they're trying to push. So, you know, the fear of communism to Cubans, they'll talk about slavery to Blacks. They'll talk about, you know, the AIDS crisis in the 90s to the gays. They'll talk. It's always one overextending the tragedy in order to be able to keep you in that mentality of pain, oppression, victimization, victimhood, so that then they can use that vulnerability to say, I'm going to save you with these laws, which wasn't it Reagan who said, the scariest thing you could ever hear is the government is hearing I'm from the government and I'm here to help. It's like, if people have forgotten that. So, you know, where is the outrage? I haven't heard any politician call what happened in Nashville what it was. A hate crime. A hate crime. I don't care that the person was mentally unwell. I don't care whether or not they were trans. It doesn't matter. The target of that school was because of their religious domination.
It was because they were
a Christian school. And not one politician had spoken out about it. Politician has spoken out about the persecution of Christians. Not one politician has spoken out about how time and time again, Christianity is ridiculed. You guys want to see how disgusting Christians are treated? Look at any interview that Pillow Man does.
Oh my God, I don't want to talk about it.
And it breaks my heart.
Talk about it.
Whenever Mike Lindell does an interview, there's always someone demeaning him, talking down to him, making him feel like less than because he believes in Jesus Christ. And no one sees that and says, that's disgusting. If somebody said that about Muhammad, or if somebody went and said that about some of the traditions that the Jewish community has, the outrage, the absolute outrage. But they can sit there and mock Mike Lindell and talk about Sky Daddy and his make pretend God and all these other things. And we allow that to happen. And our politicians do nothing to speak out against that, do nothing to protect Christians. Nothing. Time and time again, we watch it happen. So
what about us? What about all the times that we're called Christo fascists? You know why? You know what? Transgenders and crazies are attacking Christians because we went from being called fascist, right? It began with racist in 2016. Oh, Trump supporters are racist. Trump supporters are racist. Then it went to fascism. Then it was, you're a fascist. Guess what it's turned into,
what it's
now?
Morphed into now?
You're Christo fascist. You are a Christo fascist. If you oppose abortion, you're a Christo fascist. If you oppose your children cutting off their genitals, you're a Christo fascist. If you oppose open borders, well, you're a Christo fascist. So when you allow
these people, especially talking heads, search up how many Christian nationalism is dangerous, crystal fascism is dangerous. Go search how many articles are written about Christian nationalism and the threat of Christian nationalism while we're actually passing anti-Semitic speech laws.
Yep.
There's no laws being passed for Christians. Abortion laws are not passed by Christians. I hate to break it down to you, but there's atheists. And we've seen it with those girls, right? The POW, the progressives that are anti-abortion. We have seen progressives who are atheists support
pro-life.
I hate to break it down to you, but being for closed borders is not a Christian thing. But they have allowed all these leftists and all these reporters to dehumanize us to the point where they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us.
They want to feel justified. I mean, I know we were going to be careful about talking about this because there's a lot of content being deleted on Twitter right now. And I'm assuming soon some on YouTube, where if you make any criticism about a certain group fighting back against Christians now because they feel justified, because they feel like the attack was justified, because in their head they're like, well, if you guys wouldn't be so mean and you would just accept the fact that, you know, we like to make up our genders and play, you would just accept that, then this wouldn't have happened. And now they're of course fighting back, and the fact that this content is being censored. We had Katie Hobbs. Somebody makes a comment to them where she's like, I told you earlier, she posted a comment on Twitter where she's like, whenever I see a transphobe and it's a gif of a woman with like two guns, where are we? It's like we're being desensitized to violence against Christians.
And I want
to
challenge you guys.
We're being desensitized against the target at Christians. We're being desensitized to that. And they use that. I said it time and time again. Yes, we are promised that we will be persecuted. But that doesn't mean don't do anything. Don't fight for the word. Don't fight for the right of your kid being able to pray in school. Don't fight for the right of your child not having to be exposed to degeneracy, to being exposed to ideology that doesn't make any sense to a rational human being. You don't need to accept that just because you're a Christian and persecution was promised. You need to go out there and you need to share the word. You need to share the gospel. And if you're scared to do that because of the laws, then you're not living the persecution right. You're supposed to continue to do these things despite the fact that you are being persecuted. And too many of you are living in fear and allowing this to take over and guiding and hiding behind the promise that persecution is promised by God. Yes, but you are also required to share the gospel while you're here. And while you're allowing these things to take foot of this world and you sit back and you do nothing because you're living in fear, you're not living off God's promise. You're not doing that.
She's right. Quick shout out to our super chat, Sydney. Thank you so much. You are literally the best. And thank you for also your contribution this week on PayPal. She says, thank you, ladies, for always calling out the bullshit and speaking the cold hard truth. Love to hear it. It gets really frustrating at times. I haven't had, honestly, the best day. I kind of had a really bad sleep and I don't know why. It gets tough, honestly. I a lot of times I want
to. Why? Because your intuition was kicking and you knew that to do a lot of.
You know what? Yes, that's what happened.
I know that's what it was.
I didn't know what it was. I told you. Remember before it happened? Mm-hmm. I told her something was gonna happen. I wasn't having it. I was like stressed out. Anthony Joseph, hi love. It's so good to see you here. I haven't seen you. Thank you for coming. I know you couldn't stay the whole time, but hopefully you see this. Fairy Princess, thank you so much as well. And the last thing that we want to touch on is, you know, a little bit of what happened with Disney and DeSantis.
Oh, we don't have our clip of the desgraciado of the week.
Oh, yes, we are. We are right after this. It's the last, right? Oh, you want to do it now?
Yeah. We can do this part. We can do this clip really short. So another day, another PSYOP exposed for Ron DeSantis. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this because the way we already told you guys for the last three episodes that this was bullshit and it is once again exposed. DeSantis didn't do shit beavers maracas at Disney. He didn't change a damn thing. The supposedly he changed the board that was there. The board that's now there says that they have to take orders from the board that used to be there. So once again, where are we, Linda? In the same place that we were at. DeSantis is the most overhyped
politician of our generation, if not ever. He is 90% PR, 10% MAGA policy. That's it. That's what you're getting with him.
So basically where we are, and again, we don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Where we are is that DeSantis had appointed a new board, right? The tax exemptions and all the things that he said he was going to do against Disney did not happen at all. What he did was allegedly remove the old board and put his loyalists in charge of the Reedy Creek Disney or whatever. Now, we find out yesterday that allegedly behind closed doors, the old board of Disney had signed or had created some laws or somehow, some way, basically took the power away from the new board that DeSantis had appointed. What we believe happened, because it's the word on the street, it's what most people know, is that DeSantis and Disney made a deal, a backroom deal, right? Because Disney donated $1 million to the DeSantis inauguration or whatever. They made a backroom deal. Let's be honest. We're not going to kill Disney. Disney provides thousands, if not millions, well, probably thousands of jobs to Floridians, right? It brings a lot of tourism here. It is a business. It is a profitable business. So this guy tries to take on Disney and it didn't happen. The board is going to stay on as it was. Everything that was happening before is going to happen. And Disney put out a statement saying that everything that we have done was legal and the government knew about it. Now, his new board and the DeSantis team are saying that they're going to enter a legal challenge against
Disney. I'm so tired of him going after private companies.
No, and like I'm done with that too.
Legislation that's going to protect people across this, across the board. But I'm so tired of the, I'm going to attack a big name corporation so it could end up all over the news and not really solve the problem, just give myself more PR. Mm-hmm. If you're really concerned with the grooming of children, sign an EO that makes it illegal for organizations to talk about gender ideology with their employees and with the guests. If that's the kind of thing that you did and it applied across the board, then that would be impressive. If instead of going out after the Hyatt, you said that any hotel in Florida that hosted a drag queen story hour was going to have a fine imposed for every guest that they had, that would be much more impressive. But when you're just like, I'm going to go single out this company and it just so happens to be a really big brand, I'm fucking over it. It's just PR stunts over PR stunts. Cringe. And I'll be honest with you, some of you don't want to hear this. Linda and I are so fucking fed up with the culture wars.
We are. Like,
DeSantis' entire 2024 campaign is based on fucking groomers. If you guys want to know why your TikTok is filled with groomer shit, it might be because you're a DeSantis supporter and follow the Daily Wire. That might be why your TikTok algorithm continues to feed you teachers that put up gay pride flags in their schools.
I've never seen that
in my TikTok. You know why? Because I'm not obsessed with this junk. I said it the other day on a podcast that I was on. There's a video going around the internet right now. It's of a young boy, has to be 12, 13 years old, at a drag show, wearing a leather dress with high thigh boots, and he's doing splits and everything, and there's grown men cheering. I've seen that video about 100 times. Every single time I see it, it's coming from a conservative page. We cannot be the party that says we need to stop child exploitation while at the same time growing your page and your brand with content that exploits children.
Literally.
This is what we're doing. A lot of these videos that you see, like these accounts, you guys look at an account like Libs of TikTok, for example.
Oh, I stopped following her.
You look at an account like Libs of TikTok,
her.
And it's really got people believing that the only thing that exists on TikTok is these groomers account. No, this woman is curating a collection of these videos. Therefore, she goes into TikTok. She specifically types in LGBT, queer rights, queer school. These videos come up. You don't know how many likes they have. They could have 30 likes, 20 likes, and all of a sudden it's getting reposted by Libs of TikTok, and now it's got 100,000 views, 300,000 views that it would have never gotten on the original algorithm. I'm tired of seeing conservatives exploit children that are already being exploited for their own cause.
That's what they do. I had to unsubscribe to Matt Walsh the other day because he wrote literally an essay this big about Dylan Mulvaney. I never see Dylan Mulvaney. The other day, Bella called me and she's like, I'm tired of going on YouTube and every single Daily Wire host, Brett Cooper, Candace Owens, Michael Knowles, Ben Shapiro, and Matt Walsh are talking about Dylan Mulvaney. You're not going to make Dylan Mulvaney go away. Dylan Mulvaney is a legal citizen of this country.
with rights that you and I share as well, that we may not like what he has to say or she or it or whatever. But the reality is that there are no laws preventing Dylan Mulvaney from acting the way that he does. And all we are doing is amplifying his message over and over and over again by continuing to just shit on this person that is not going to go away. He's an actor. He's literally an actor in a role.
Yep.
That's what he is. And we're giving it more and more attention. He doesn't have the Desgraciado of the Week clip.
No, but okay. I'll say, ¿Qué pasa el desgraciado? So, last night, for absolutely no reason at all, minding our business, having my tea, scrolling my TikTok cleaning videos, I get a screenshot sent to me. And the screenshot is Jamie Mitchell, from the Gay Who Strayed, the founder of Gays Against Groomers. And she has some harsh words for us.
Do we have the tweet that
we don't take this shit lightly?
Yeah. There's like four tweets. It's the first one.
No, you're not gonna try me for literally no reason at all while we're minding our business. Is that the one from Jamie Mitchell?
Yeah. No, it's not. No. Go to the next one. Next.
No, it's the first one that I had sent. Hold on, guys. We're getting this together. I know I did some of the responses. Yes.
Yeah. Jamie Mitchell, for no reason at all, came to, that's Trump, as a warlord. Yeah, she became a huge system. I stopped talking to her, so I didn't really want to air out. And we've been
respectful about it.
Yeah, we've been respectful. I didn't really want to air out our dirty laundry. We were friends. We were cool. And, you know, she decided to go after us. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, you saw that yesterday I was going off about the whole Christian thing. And I said that, you know, we're not represented by Republicans, and that I didn't know if I was actually going to vote, if I would ever vote again, honestly. I'm that black pill because
this part is important to mention. I hate to cut you off.
Okay.
Linda has been on the phone with legislators probably over the last 2 months more than the average person will their entire life.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to state the angle where she's coming from, please. Because it has nothing to do with just a political opinion that she disagrees with. It's a genuine dissatisfaction with the way that legislators operate and answer to their constituents. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I had to say that because people need to understand the backstory and the level of involvement that you have. It's right. very different to the level of involvement that somebody like Jamie has, who knows nothing about activism and only knows about posting to go viral for the sake of self-promotion.
Right. So I basically went on Twitter yesterday and I said, I'm this close to never voting for any Republican ever again and only voting Trump in 2024. My tweet was actually about the Republican Party and my dissatisfaction with the Republicans at the moment, especially the legislators here in Florida, who are passing all these bills, all these bad bills that I've talked about. My tweet was not about DeSantis at all or anything, right? This woman, she's unhinged, and she's been unhinged for the last 2 years since Trump left office and became more unhinged in 2022, last year when Trump started attacking DeSantis, and she started attacking DC Drano. She started attacking every single MAGA supporter, calling us a cult, even though we're the ones that gave her clout, even though we're the ones that helped her fucking get a Gays Against Groomer organization. And she goes on to say this to us. In case you had any doubt that the MAGA cult has gone from America first to Trump first, the difference between DeSantis supporters and Trump loyalists is that the former will vote for whoever the Republican nominee is because we don't want a fucking Democrat in the White House. And I forgot the rest of the stuff that she says. This literally had nothing to do with DeSantis and everything to do with my dissatisfaction for the Republican Party, who I don't think I'm not really sure if I'll vote for them again, considering the fact that they're making all these laws against me, against Christians, and so on and so forth. So this actually didn't end up too well for her because people kind of understood where I was coming from, and she got dragged in the comments and she got dragged in the retweets, and I dragged her as well on our MPL podcast. And I was like,
some of those.
And I was like, bro, like,
this isn't about you. Like, you are so unhinged. By the way, this woman had a job because I helped her get that job. She was working for X Strategies, who are Trump supporters, my friends. And when they were looking for a new graphic designer, I told them to hire Jamie. Okay. So she had a job because Trump supporters that she now calls a cult, people like me, people like Derek Ulley and people like Alex Bershowitz, decided that she will be a good fit for their organization. And the way that she pays us back is by going and calling us cultists, by dragging us on the internet for no reason at all other than the fact that she hates Trump now because she thought that Trump was going to be super daddy, Superman, who was going to save America, like the QAnon people said. That didn't happen, so she decided to turn bitter into a very nasty person and basically sack attacking every single Trump supporter on the internet, including people that she used to have a relationship with, including people that helped her get a job.
And boy, did that backfire on our girl. For a second, I was upset that I am not allowed on Twitter. But then I realized that the people of Twitter were going to get their revenge back for us. Can you bring up the next clip? I want to read to you guys some of the quote replies because I read the majority of the replies, but the quote retweets just had me rolling. And these were some of my favorite.
That one.
All right, so Daniel writes, oh, LOL, here we go. The guilt trip technique from DeSantis. It's identical to how Cruz fans attacked in 2015. We've been telling you guys for some time that the DeSantis bros are the new elitist. They think they're above MAGA. Mm-hmm. They think that they are the true direction of the Republican Party. And what they don't realize is that nobody gives a fuck about Republicans anymore. We give a shit about America First, and we only vote Republican because we get one of two choices in this illusion of choice that exists in this country. Can you put the next one up? Next clip. I think there's a little bit of a delay. So is there? All right, so Slinky Nuts writes, you're getting really annoying. You're just shut up and go away, dude. It's idiots like you that caused Trump to lose in 2020 in the first place. Trump didn't lose. Trump deserves to represent us in 2024. Sorry, cry about it more. Call MAGA a cult more. All you're doing is destroying your credibility. Can you go to the next one? Guys, it was one after another, after another, after another. And here's the part that as soon as I saw the message go out, I told Linda, is she dumb? The majority of the people that fought, she gained her following being a Trump supporter. Before she got hired by X Strategies, Jamie made her living selling MAGA hats and t-shirt with Trump's face on it. Mm-hmm. The majority of people who followed her into Gays Against Groomer did so believing that she was an America First Republican that supported Donald Trump. Is there a few people there that are going to vote for DeSantis and are DeSantis and never Trump? Sure, I'm sure of it. But you cannot be delusional enough to think that the platform that you've spent the last several years building, a lot of which did you build during a Donald Trump presidency, was going to be okay with the switch. Not that you're voting for DeSantis. Please, please don't give yourself that much credit and don't insult us. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're voting with DeSantis. It has more to do with the fact that you think you're superior because you're voting for DeSantis and we're stuck in some past pie in the sky dream that we need to let go of for supporting Donald Trump. The Witch Hunt, this one's my favorite. He writes, confirmed, the gay who strayed will indeed vote for DJT when he becomes the nominee. All of the anti-Trump talk is just bluster from a disgruntled patriot. Great news. Thanks, Jamie. We're happy to have your support.
The funniest thing about Jamie is that the entire time that she was supporting Trump, she did behind the gay who's straight, not showing her face, not trying to be a personality, because the whole time she was working for liberals and she didn't want her liberal bosses and whoever was paying her to know that she was a conservative. So in 2020, she was actually given the opportunity by Trump's White House to design the RNC logo. And she did. And they chose her.
And she was very proud of it. And she used it to market herself.
Yeah, after the fact, because at the beginning, she wasn't doing it because she didn't want her liberal bosses to know. So this is a person that never had any skin in the game. This is a person that basically was hiding behind her page so that she continue working for liberals and not be doxxed and not be harassed and not be fired. And then she comes and attacks the people that have actually had skin in the game, that actually talks to, I talk to legislator Lelis every single day. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock at night, like it was on Tuesday, and I was talking to a legislator. Sometimes it's 5 o'clock on a Friday and I'm talking to a legislator. And she literally has no regard towards people that don't fuck with her vibe. Like, I don't fuck with your ideology. I'm not looking at your stuff. I'm not losing sleep because you support DeSantis and you have daily meltdowns over the vaccine or not the vaccine. You do you. You support you. You want to support Ye? Support Ye. You want to support Ron Paul? Support Ron Paul. You want to support Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio? I don't care who you support. But to come at us because I have a tweet, which, by the way, doesn't even mention DeSantis, you can go fuck yourself.
Well, I mean, the Twitter definitely told her to GFY, and she got a real reality check of what the 2024 presidential election is going to look like. Stop telling people that they're being divisive for calling out Ron DeSantis. It's an election. We're in an early primaries. We're going to continue to call out Ron DeSantis because that's what you do. You call out the political opposition. DeSantis made himself political opposition, not the other way around.
And she should be called out. And Trump supporters should not be supporting Gays Against Groomers or Jamie, for that matter. There's no reason why anybody should be supporting people that think that you're a cult, that think that you're less than them, that think that you don't care about the country. Because I promise you that I have done a lot more for this country and as in my community, maybe not the country, but my community, that she has done at all. What has she done for Wisconsin or wherever she lives?
That, I want to make that point because that point is incredibly important. I don't know if Jamie openly talks about what state she lives in or not. We know what state she lives in. And I made it a point to go in and look at where the gender ideology education, we're in the public school system in her state, and it's absolutely jacked. In fact, it's one of the grossest states, probably next to California. So I guess that here's my advice to you guys. Trust people that do the things that they say you should do. Because when we began talking about local action and getting involved, you know what was the one thing that we agreed on? That we couldn't be hypocrites and do it behind the internet. That if we were going to tell people that they had to get out there and get involved and go to school board meetings and go to commission meetings and push back, that if we were going to tell people that that's how they were going to save the country, that we had to lead by example and live that. We fought at school boards. We flipped the Miami-Dade school board.
Yeah.
We ran a nationally recognized superintendent out of town and into another district, in fact, another state. We turned Miami-Dade County into the largest conservative body in a school board in the entire country. We exposed how the school board was making victims of child abuse sign NDAs as conditions of payouts for negligence. We exposed that. Jamie, Miss Gays Against Groomers, who can post 3,000 videos of teachers in classrooms, has never been to a school board meeting in her own state that teaches children degeneracy.
In fact, her idea of the bus that she wants to hire for Pride was my idea, was our idea.
Yeah.
The first bus that Gag ever had was here in Miami because I involved her in our PR campaign. And she now has grifted off my idea. I actually also got her press in an LGBT freaking publication. All bad press, as you guys know, it's good press. And
we had kept it anonymous because we don't care about clout.
Yeah.
So when the bus went viral, so I'm sure that Billy's going to have a field day with this. It was us. We don't fucking care that, you know, we don't care about the clout, which is why we didn't go around and start taking credit and be like, look what we put together and look what we organized getting national attention, because we don't care about that. But you're not going to come and try us. And then on top of that, rip the credit for the idea that was ours to begin with, while again, kids in your school are in your schools in your home state are still learning to play with butts. That's literally not happening in Miami-Dade.
Well, she herself is part of the LGBT community. And today I saw a video by Gag that was pretty disturbing. She's promoting Lady MAGA and calling it based. So in a way, GAG is actually, Gays Against Groomers, is actually promoting more of this degenerate
normalization.
Behavior. They're normalizing this behavior in the Republican Party. And that's probably her goal, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's just disappointing to see people act this way. But yeah, I don't think you guys should support Gays Against Groomers. I don't think you guys should support Jamie. I don't think anybody that supports Trump should support somebody that looks down on them like that. I just don't. And I'll be petty like that.
And talking about support, I want to give a shout out to Dirty Mike in his contribution. And he says, I just stole my mom's credit card. Just wanted to send some money to support your way. Yeah. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Mike. Yes. That was awesome. Thank you, Mike, so much for that contribution. Yeah. I hope you don't get in trouble with your mom, but I hope that it was worth it.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. All right, guys, we've been going on for 94 minutes. And yes, Reyna, she actually designed, she's a really good designer. She designed our merch. We'll get a new designer. We're not going to work with haters anymore. So that's that. And I don't really care to be around people who think that we're beneath them because we don't share their political opinion. In fact, pretty soon we're going to have a liberal come join us. He has agreed to join us.
Our arch nemesis,
because we want to talk to him in a very civil manner. And, you know, he said to me, are you guys going to be civil? And I said, yes, because you and I may not agree on many social issues, but we have a lot of economic policy agreements. And why does it matter if you don't want abortion, but I want abortion?
I think that there's also, and you and I have talked about this.
That's the beauty of this country.
When we're talking about him specifically, one of the things that we've talked about is I can look at my enemy and respect them for what it is that they do. He's an activist and he believes in his causes, and I don't agree with his ideology at all whatsoever. And we troll each other, and again, our arch nemesis. But we want to do that to show you guys that there's a lot. Again, when they keep us fighting one another, the real enemy gets to do whatever the hell it is that they want because we're so distracted. And there is points where we come together, where we meet, and we can all agree we're Americans. And I want to protect your right to say the things that I don't like.
Yeah,
but I want you to protect my right to say the things that you don't like. And if we can agree on that, then we can once again get to the point in this country where discourse is okay, where we can disagree on politics respectfully, on ideology, and let the best man win. We'll settle it in the voting booth. We need to get to that point again. So we're going to take a big step probably next week. We're still scheduling, but probably next week we will have our arch nemesis on this show order to be able to find a common ground and discuss some of the things that we're seeing out of Florida.
Absolutely. Miguel, you're so sweet. He goes, I'm a broke graduate nurse, but here you girls go, the baddest in the game. You're so sweet, Miguel. Thank you so much. We really appreciate everything that you guys do. I'm sorry. That's crazy. And yes, it is Thomas Kennedy. We want to have Thomas Kennedy here. We don't agree with everything he says, but there is a lot of common ground that we have. And you know, he's a character. He's a funny person, and he actually lives by what he preaches. You know, he's out there hunting legislators. He's getting their faces. He protests. So these are things that we can respect, even if our mission is not the same, even if we don't have the same politics. It's good. It's better than some of the Democrats who just talk, and they don't actually have any action. So thank you so much. And guys, don't forget to please share, like, and subscribe. Hopefully we'll have the audio ready for tomorrow. And also don't forget, if you are looking for a new water filtration system, check out centuryh2o.com and use our code MPL10 for 10% off. I use it. Bella uses it. For real. We're not lying. Where you can actually see the difference in the water with Century is when you actually freeze ice cubes with the Century water versus your ice cubes from your refrigerator. The ice cubes in the refrigerator are contaminated, are super cloudy and white, whereas my Century ice cubes are clear and beautiful. And
you'll
also
taste the difference.
The difference too. Yeah. And so if you're looking for an inexpensive, affordable water filtration system under $300,
as a gift too,
you know, go ahead.
It's a great birthday present and a gift for someone. If you've got a conspiracy friend that's worried about the fluoride turning them gay in the water, please do. We're getting ready to sign up, but I do want to give two shout outs to our last two contributions. You guys have been so great and so generous to us today. Rafaela, thank you for your $9.99 donation. We appreciate you so much for believing in us. And Oscar, thank you for your consistent support of our channel.
Wow.
Checking in, ladies. Great show as usual. And after tonight, MAGA all day, every day. And thank you to Alejandra Rodriguez with her wave, that cute little avatar. Thank you guys from the bottom of our heart for supporting us, for believing us.
We love you. God bless.
We're going to continue to encourage and support you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.